So I'm Andrew Pleasant. I'm the Director of Health Literacy and Research at Canyon Ranch Institute. Chuck, I will talk louder. Thank you. We all partnered with the University of Arizona, ourselves at Canyon Ranch Institute, which is a 501c3 nonprofit public charity, the Clorox Company, as well as people from the College of Fine Arts at the University of Boston, and our partners in Peru, who were actually the face of the project. So it's important to actually stress that. I am clearly a tall white guy who speaks some Spanish. I was not in the community delivering this project, nor do we work that way at Canyon Ranch Institute as a rule. The face of the project was by and large local. I have been in the community, and I do know people who live there and vice versa, but this was a very local project. It was also, this is important to say, not branded. Clorox paid for it. They also contributed their intellectual property to the ideas, but nowhere ever was the word Clorox mentioned, nor were their products featured in any of the intervention whatsoever. That was agreed upon right from the get-go. They see this as part of their corporate social responsibility mission, not necessarily as a profit-making exercise. And how rare is that? I just ask. So you know the issue. You've seen the community. All I can really say is if you wanted to do a project to address household hygiene, this might not be where you want to work, right? It's one of the most challenging environments, I think, that I've ever seen, and I've worked in many around the world. Just to briefly illustrate, those blue buckets that you see, that is the water supply and delivery mechanism for this community. Water is trucked in. It arrives unsafe. So there is one huge challenge right off the bat. Some people cover the buckets, some people don't, and you heard the story of the Huecos and the constant exposure and re-exposure throughout the entire community. Now, how many of you have heard of Theater of the Oppressed? One, two. Okay, so I have to explain this a little bit too in 15 minutes or less. And breathe all at the same time. I can do this. In Brazil, a lovely individual, Augusto Boal, who left the earth, unfortunately, last year, was using theater as a method of social intervention around the time of, right before the overthrow of the dictator, great political unrest. He took his traveling troupe into a small village one day, and the play was about a small village gathering together and overthrowing the evil dictator. Surprise, surprise. And at the end of the play, here's the real surprise, the villagers stood up and said, "Great, we've got guns, we just needed more people. Thanks. Come with us and we'll do it right now." Which, of course, the actors had no intention of actually carrying a gun and shooting at the evil dictator and overthrowing him. So he said, "I have to change the way I'm doing this. I will use theater, but I need to engage the community in the process, not just tell them what to do through the theatrical method." So he invented Theater of the Oppressed, where the audience are spectators and actors. We took that method as a baseline and developed it even further because we have evidence-based intervention in mind. So you can't just let the community tell you what they want to do because it might not work. It's as simple as that. So that's why we call this method Theater for Health, not Theater of the Oppressed. It's fundamentally grounded in this idea of health literacy, which the way we work with health literacy, it's a theory of behavior change. It's not just how people can read and write about health. It literally leads people down this logic model to behavior change, if you do it in a very robust fashion. So we took health literacy, we took the idea of Theater of the Oppressed, we created this intervention called Theater for Health, and it does allow you to blend science with community-based knowledge and practices. The audience still becomes spectators, but the focus shifts to solutions that will actually work. You set up problems in the narrative and the storyline, and then you stop the play, basically, and you ask the audience what you think should happen. How could you solve that? Or you'll have a tragic event in the storyline. A little girl died. Actually, in the storyline, a little girl died, which the community hated. Like, that's mean and evil. So, all right, great. How, if you were the family, what should they have done to have prevented that death? And the person who moderates this in this case was an MD, MPH. So he had the skills. He also had the ability to communicate, which is rare for someone who has an MD and an MPH all at the same time. But we found him, and he could do that. So So, right, what did we do overall? We found our local partners. We did formative research in the community before they even knew there was going to be an intervention. That informed our basic narrative structure, which we wrote. Then we did a two-week workshop where we introduced the idea to our team members, and we had to train the actors a little bit of microbiology, right, which they had no clue at all. They were just like a community member, so they didn't know. We had to explain to them the basics of risk, exposure, et cetera, illness and disease. After that, we did a baseline survey of 250 houses to set the baseline in the community. The intervention itself was 12 episodes. We did it over 11 weeks. There were two episodes the first week. The first episode and the last episode had a big theater, a big fiesta, festival around it. So it was a celebration, and we had tables with information and song, dance, big games for kids, you name it. We did it. During that, we did a process evaluation component, 20 interviews after every performance. And this was in a continual feedback loop through the entire process between Peru and ourselves in the U.S., then the post data, including microbiology. We also did observations in homes to actually just sit there and watch behavior and see what people really did versus what they told us they did. So in terms of validation, we have evidence coming from multiple directions, qualitative, quantitative, microbiological, social, knowledge, behavioral, and attitudinal, all in one project. Here's what we think, here's basically how we think it works, right? We go, we identify a community, we learn about it. What's going on now? That's the formative. We introduce the intervention, which is careful to match up to what the community's health literacy is from not just a fundamental linguistic perspective, but also what do they know about science? What is the civic power structure in the community like? And how do people navigate that? What skills do they have? What skills do they need? And then culture, right? If you don't address cultural literacy, you're not going to go anywhere. So it's a robust approach to improve health literacy, and we believe that as a result, the community as a whole and individually can now better walk through this logic model, right? They can find information, they've learned it, they understand it, they've figured out what it means in the context of their own life. They can communicate about it with each other, a very important step that a lot of interventions, especially health literacy, just leave out. They just say, oh, you understand it? Great, we're done. We've had knowledge gain. It's lovely. But this is very important to get the behavior change, and then people actually use it, and they change their behaviors. So that's the way we see this working. That's the difference in elevation that Kelly referred to. This is a very steep community in most instances. I don't know why I'm going backwards, but I am. Here's the process outcomes that we learned as we went, right? So the other thing I should tell you about this, it was a soap opera. It wasn't just 12 individual performances, they were linked. It told a story across time about two families. One family was the Buendias, Good Day, and the other family was the Marana family, which is like tangled, kind of like my hair right here. It's a little messy. But one family wasn't all evil, and one family wasn't all good. A little girl in the Marana family was becoming a doctor. Right? So it was just like life. So what did people say they learned? Hand-washing behavior, how to treat water. It was about the fourth episode that somebody from the community actually stood up and said, I've heard that you can use bleach to treat water, but I have no idea how much to use. And our Clorox friends were probably like, yeah. Right? But we never said bleach. It came from the community, and then we asked Clorox really quickly, all right, we need a culturally appropriate way to explain to people how much bleach to use for different outcomes, right? So you don't use the same amount if you're going to drink the water versus clean vegetables. So they did that in less than 24 hours. They sent us exactly the information, evidence-based, that we incorporated from that point forward. We talked to people about how important it is to take people to the doctor if they're sick, because in our formative research, we realized people didn't know that, and we talked about community organization, because if you want to change this community, you're not going to do it individually. You're going to make change, and we show that we did, but it's getting them to work together because it's an environmental problem, largely surrounding them. What did we find? All right, almost everybody knew about it. A vast majority attended the performances. I really love the 7% that say they were there but didn't pay attention. Right, which one? I know you're out there. Tim, right there, he's looking out the window. Got it. On average, they went to 4 of the performances. Some people went to almost all of them. Some people only went to 1. These are people who work 4 or 5 jobs. They basically spend time in their home to sleep and eat, and they get 1 day a week where they have to do all the stuff that we all have to do when we're not working. So it's a very busy community, even though it's very poor. There was a little effect significant between how far people lived away from the performance. Have there been any changes? A little over half said yes. Was it because of the performance? Yeah, they all agreed that was it. In the post-survey, what changes did you make in your life? A host of them. People could answer yes to more than one, but because they did. We don't need to read them all. You guys can read. Have you seen changes at the community level? Yes, most people a little under half said yes. We've seen community level change, which isn't bad, actually. Are they because of the performances? Once again, yes, we think that's actually it. What are the changes? Boom, right? Home improvements. We actually did workshops on how to make your house safer and not so open to the environment, using bleach to clean floors. The canchita is the performance space. It's the shared social space for this community. It's where they play soccer. It's where we did our intervention. It's where they have community meetings. It's where they do everything. And you've heard this, so I'm not to talk about it. This is an actual bathroom in the community, right? So one of the challenges that we need to figure out how to do better is when you do an open intervention like this where the community helps you decide what the solution is going to be, how do you set your baseline? Right? That's a trick, because you really don't know what the intervention is going to look like when you start. So you really have to think through the possibilities right off the bat. Nonetheless, this 34.4% decrease and the data Kelly showed you sort of, I think, indicates that it worked. And I'm going to let you see what it actually looked like. You can't hear the sound here, but we're tired of looking at PowerPoints. Now, if it's a very slow computer, I might do it in sort of a still image kind of a way.
Can you just do it up here live in person?
What do you mean? Oh, act it out. Oh, sorry. I thought you were like, yeah, we're having computer problems here. That's just the nature of technology. Don't worry about it. This is a new methodology. It's based on a long history, but it really does successfully blend science and community-based interest and practices in a way that I at least have never seen, in a way that's fun, right? This is people laughed and cried and came back and were attached to the characters, and they knew the names, and they followed the storyline, and they wanted the girl to succeed. And the missing grandfather, who was dead according to his wife, who was in the play, but people kept seeing him around the community with a younger woman. He showed up at the end, right? And guess what? They all lived happily ever after. And hopefully that's what we've helped the community do a little bit too. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you.